This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, it's hard to know what gate is yours sometimes. Hard to know how you are leading us. Help us know the way to your abundant life. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So last Thursday, I was at my desk, working away very busily, getting a lot done, and I noticed a little pop-up email inviting me to open a Google Doc. Kind of looked like that. This is somebody else's I got from Google Images, but it was exactly that HHHHHHHHH at malinator.com. Well, you would have thought the word malinator might have tipped me off. or the million H's in front, maybe, could have been a clue that it wasn't something I wanted to click on. So I was busy, and I moved the mouse over. I was expecting a document from somebody. I'm working with a group that we were communicating in that way. So I moved my cursor over, and I was just about to push it, and I didn't. I thought, you know, this just doesn't seem right. I'm going to delete it, and I figured I'll write to this group and ask them if I missed something, da-da-da. So I deleted it. Not 5 minutes later, I got a text from a good friend, somebody I know who is the head of the IT department at a high school, who said, oh, I just want to give you a warning. There's this scam going around. If you're invited to open a Google document, don't do it. And sure enough, I contacted our IT people here. They were all over it. They had already heard about it. They were just about to let us know about it. If I had clicked on it, then the scammers would have had access to all of my contacts. And who knows what else information. They were thieves and bandits coming in over the fence. Yep. Thieves and bandits coming in over the fence to deceive me. And there's lots of people that clicked on it. Lots of people that are still having headaches because of it. Jesus, in the gospel today, is talking about these thieves and bandits that jump over the fence, and he was using a metaphor that the people of his day could understand, a figure of speech, or at least he was hoping that they would understand. Just like today we might use this kind of figure of speech to teach a lesson, we would use cybersecurity to teach that lesson because it's something that we can all relate to. Well, in the days of Jesus, everybody knew about sheep and shepherds, and gates, and gatekeepers, and about thieves that would come in over the railing. So he figured they would understand. They didn't get that figure of speech. But before we go on to his second figure of speech and clarification, it's important to understand the scene with which he's talking and the audience that he is addressing. So we're in the 10th chapter of John, first 10 verses in today's gospel, and right before this, the whole 9th chapter of John has to do with Jesus healing a man blind from birth. And it caused quite a hubbub in that area because he was always getting in trouble for working on the Sabbath day. But the religious authorities were really not happy with this, and they, you know, were questioning the man that he healed and questioning his parents, and Jesus finally heard about it, and he came back and he said he was supporting this man that he had healed and convincing him, and the man believed that Jesus was the Son of Man and went on his way, or he may have still been there as well, because now comes this lesson we heard today. And he's telling, I am the good shepherd, I follow me. I'm the one that'll lead you into this gate. I'm the one that'll be protecting you. I'm the one that can watch you. Remember me? I know you each by name, just like a shepherd In those days, it was amazing, but they knew their sheep by name. And the reason the sheep knew to come into the gate is because they recognized the voice of the shepherd. So it was something that he was trying to convey to them. Listen to me, he was saying. So halfway through our gospel, you'll remember it said, but they didn't understand his figure of speech. So then he tries again. Okay, I'm going to try something else. Very truly. Now listen, very truly. Anytime you hear that, it's Jesus saying, listen, I am the gate. I'm the gate also. I'm the gate that's going to guide you into a right way of living. Follow me. I'm not going to let you get in trouble that way. He was hoping to convince them and make them easy, make it easy for them to find this gateway to abundant life. Abundant life. He used these I am messages a lot in Scripture and especially in John. He had already told them, I am the light, and so are you. Go out and do this work. He would go on to tell them, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the bread, I am the living water, I am the true vine. Are you getting it yet? And the disciples and the people that were following him, we laugh because, you know, we think it's funny. Of course they should have gotten it, but can you imagine somebody that comes into your town saying this? We probably would have been saying, well, I don't know, I'm not so sure. But then we start seeing the signs, and we start seeing the miracles, and we start to follow. And so he's telling them again, I am the gate. And for us today, there are so many different options, so many different doors that we could go through, so many different gates. It's just like clicking on an email. It can take you into a whole new world, a whole new link to something. Think about the gates and the doorways and the decisions that we have to make all the time. Am I going to hang out with these people? Am I going to go into that home? Am I going to pick up this drug or this drink? Or am I going to eat until I can't feel anything else? Or am I going to starve myself? Am I going to open that door? Am I going to be greedy? Maybe it's that gate. Or selfish? Or be filled with revenge? And Jesus is saying, very truly, don't you see? I am the gate. And sometimes that gate can be, you know, that we're not quite sure where to go. I had an experience last weekend. I was at the wedding of two of my dearest friends in the whole world. And their daughter was getting married. It was an out-of-state wedding. And I didn't perform the wedding, but I did the blessing and the consecration. And I was at the reception. The wedding was beautiful, and I was at the reception and we were waiting for the bridal party to come. And I guess because my name had been listed in the program as an Episcopalian, this woman came up to me and she said, oh, you're Episcopalian. And I said, yes. And she said, so am I. I'm on the vestry here at this church in town. And I had passed this gorgeous church on the way to the Methodist church where the wedding was. And she said, yes, I'm on the vestry. And I said, boy, your church is beautiful. It looks like a plum church to work in. And I said, who's your priest? I thought maybe I knew them. And she told me, and I didn't. And we got to talking. And she goes, yeah, he's been here about 4 years now, and he's finally working out. And I said, oh, it was a hard thing in the beginning? And she said, yeah, she's been here about 2 years. And I mean, 4 years, but the first 2 years, he really had to get to know us. And had to you know, come around to our side of things. And I said, well, it's too bad that he couldn't just be himself in that. And she said, oh, no, it's working out. And she goes, come on. She said, you know, you've got to play the game. She looked right at me and said that. And she said, you know, you've got to work the crowd. You've got to know how to do this. Now, if I really needed a job and I was really, really hungry, I hope I would still say no if I had been offered a job at that place. But, I don't know that for sure. I'm not so sure. I would hope so. And so it was very easy. Well, first of all, somebody walked up and I was saved. I didn't have to go into and so I didn't have to continue that conversation. And she was a lovely woman, a lovely woman. I just was shocked at how easily we can get misled to go into a gate, to go into a door that I'm not so sure. And it was easy for me to condemn him. And I don't need to be going down that gate either. I have no idea what his situation is. And I just know that I need to be in charge of me. And that I need to make sure I'm not selling out. And I'm not one of those thieves and bandits coming in over the fence. I have been there. I've done that. I was at a little Christmas gathering many, many years ago at a restaurant. I was invited by an employee of a small company, and I was that person's guest, and the boss was paying for everything. And shortly into the dinner, he made a borderline, well, it was a little over the line, racial joke. Everybody laughed. I couldn't laugh. I was shocked. But I didn't say anything. I could have waited. I didn't want to get the person who had invited me in trouble, obviously. I didn't want to make a scene. It's complicated, this living as Christians. I may have taken, I could have taken him aside later and said something privately. I could have, but I didn't. But these doors, these gates that we have before us are either of God or they're not. And when it's black, when it's not black and white, and when it's gray, that's when we rely on our faith and our prayer and other people to help guide us into this way of abundant life. Now notice, Jesus is not saying abundance. He's not saying that we need more stuff, that we need more possessions, that we need an abundance of cars, or we need an abundance of overflowing money, or we need an abundance of noise with a TV going on all the time and never time for quiet. We don't need to be constantly wishing we could be like everybody else. He talks about abundant living. Abundant living means being courageous to be who you really are. Being courageous to have regular times in prayer to get to know this good shepherd so that you hear his voice, so that you can recognize what gate we're supposed to go in. And that takes prayer. And it takes not only individual prayer, but prayer as a group, coming here, coming to church, coming to fellowship and Bible, so that we can be learning about this abundant living and how to recognize it in the midst of all these other voices that are going on all around us. It's about peace and order, calm, and surrendering to God. It's about knowing to guide your way by the fruits of the Spirit if it produces peace and love and gentleness and kindness and self-control. There's four others I can't remember. We have to know that way. We gather here every single week to remind us of not only that, but that we have a guidance going on in our lives and that we are not always it. And that the world doesn't revolve around us, but that our focal point is on the one guiding us and about going through that gate and that way, and that truth, and that life, following the Good Shepherd. We've been given a great gift that Jesus probably would have known by heart in the 23rd Psalm. It was written way before him. The Lord is my shepherd, so think about that now. You know, lots of times we think about it as Christians, as Jesus, and rightly so. But it's also Jesus praying to God, knowing about the Holy Spirit. So he would have known this prayer. And we're going to go through it real simply to show you this tool that you have at your hands all the time to guide you. Just pull it up on your phones or carry it in your pocket. So the first is The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Total dependence, complete dependence on God. Surrender. He leadeth me beside into green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The very first thing we're being told here is to be still. How can we hear his voice if we're not still? He restores my soul. This stillness, this fellowship with other people, restores our souls, renews us. Even though I walk, or he leads me along right pathways, and they may not be always sun-filled and cheery and rosy, but even though I walk through the valley of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. You are with me, no matter what, and we can affirm that. We're never alone. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, even in darkness. We're prepared. We're guided. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're fed. We're cared for. You anoint my head with oil. We're healed. My cup runneth over. We are given so much more than we ever need, truly need. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So while we journey, or when we're at home, we're with the Lord. Fred Buechner wrote, and I quote, "A Christian is one who points at Christ and says, 'I can't prove a thing.' But there's something about his eyes and his voice. There's something about the way he carries his head, his hands, the way he carries his cross, the way he carries me. Gateway to abundant living in Jesus Christ our Lord. Stay close." Amen.